welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's try it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There we go. I knew you had it in you. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rocklin Clark, and it's my privilege to be your brother in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity to know you and to love and serve you. Thank you for your presence here. Help us to glorify you in the sharing and the ministry of the word, and as we have glorified you in the worship. We give you the glory and the praise for what you're going to accomplish. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, as I said before, I'm Rocklin Clark. I'm part of the leadership team here at Life Church. At Life Church, we are crazy about Jesus. Amen? How many are crazy about Jesus? Amen. Amen. Just by way of review, this isn't really part of the series that I did a little while ago, but when we say we're crazy about Jesus, we are Christians, and we've been taught. Welcome to the gathering. Thank you all for sharing with us. And just by way of review, so everyone's on the same page, we have been talking about the fact that the series that I did, that I ended last Sunday, was called Follow the Leader. And it was based on the idea that, you know, as Christians, the Bible refers to the term Christian in Acts chapter 11. It says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And Christian was a term that their neighbors used to describe them, presumably because they were always talking about Christ. Amen? And Christ is the title that was applied to Jesus. It just means anointed one. Really, by implication, it means that he is the prophesied king. The permanent king who is going to set everything right, not just for the nation of Israel, but ultimately for the whole world. Amen? Sort of like, you know, if you were ever a fan of Westerns, you may have heard, or even of parodies of Westerns, you may have heard the expression, there's a new sheriff in town. Amen? There's a new sheriff in town. There's a new king in town. He took the throne 2,000 years ago, and he is, through his church, in the process of fixing things. Amen? That means you're part of that process. So to be a Christian is to belong to Christ. That's what it means. Christians are those who, that's what they meant when they were calling them Christians. It wasn't a term that the believers themselves came up with. It's what people around them called them because they saw them as belonging to Christ since they talked about him so much. Amen? People can tell a lot about you by what you talk about. Amen? My mother-in-law, she's gone home to be with the Lord, but she noticed after Eva came home from her summer before her freshman year at MIT. She was in summer program to get ready for for the freshman year, and I was a tutor, not her tutor, but a tutor in that program. But her mother knew that she came home talking about this Rockland. And so her mother knew that something had happened in her life over the summer. There was this new name she was talking about that her mother had never heard before, and it was an unusual name, so she'd never heard that name before. You can tell a lot about someone by what they talk about. My mother, and thank you for your prayers. She's still in the hospital, but so we appreciate your continuing to pray for her. We're going to go see her after the meeting. But you know, she could tell I was talking about Eva, and so she knew that there's something had happened. This was a new name for her in terms of the college experiences that I'd related. You can tell a lot about people by what they talk about. And these Christians were talking about Christ. That's why they called them Christians. Okay? And Jesus says of those who belong to him, "My sheep know my voice." Amen? "My sheep know my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And so, from Jesus' perspective, if you belong to him, you listen to his voice and you follow him. Now, I've said this several times, but it's important for you to understand because you need to be able to explain it to other people. People have a lot of, you may have noticed this, people have a lot of confused notions about church and Christianity and saved and born again. But you need to be able to relate it to them from the basics. Well, Christian just means belonging to Christ. And as far as Jesus is concerned, those who belong to him listen to his voice. Amen? And they follow him. Praise the Lord. And so in following Jesus, as we have said, we seek to put his words into practice. We'll say a little bit more about that later. But I want to take a moment to also remind you of something that we covered in the last time. I mentioned this idea of the ladder of abstraction, and I mentioned it in the context of conversations, discussions that I started to have on Facebook with people in which I responded to something someone had posted about Jesus. And in the course of the discussion, a number of people who didn't believe or weren't followers of Jesus responded with things that they knew Jesus had said. And what struck me was that the kinds of things they responded with are things that are kind of high on the ladder of abstraction. Now, just by way of review, the ladder of abstraction is a way of looking at the ways we talk about things from the more specific to the more general. So at the low end of the ladder of abstraction, you might have a cow named Bessie. It's on your farm, and it's your pet cow, okay? Bessie. You go and milk Bessie, you know, regularly, okay? But one step up from Bessie is cow. Bessie is one of a number of creatures that are considered to be cow. Amen? And then one step up from cow would be livestock. Cows have certain things in common with other things living things you find on a farm, like goats and pigs and chickens, and they're livestock. Okay, livestock is different from corn and wheat, amen, which are other things you may find on a farm, but they're in a different category, for those are crops. Crops are not livestock. Livestock are not crops. So Bessie would fall under the category of livestock. But one step up from that would be farm assets, amen? And so both crops and livestock would fall under the category of farm assets. And then one step up from that would be assets. You might have some assets that aren't part of your farm, amen? You might have a timeshare somewhere. You might have a vacation home somewhere, amen? You might have a Swiss bank account. You might have assets that, you know, aren't found on your farm. Anyone have a Swiss bank account? No? Okay, just checking. And then beyond that, there is wealth. Amen? Now, when people want to pull other folks into agreement, they tend to use language that moves up on the ladder of abstraction. right? You isolate the things where you have the most commonality, and your language hovers up at the top of the ladder of abstraction. But it turns out that when you want to actually get something done, you have to go down the ladder of abstraction. You have to use language that goes closer to the concrete, because you can't milk a car. Amen? Milking is important for a cow. Okay? That's part of how you take care of a cow. There are some things you need to do for a car, but if you try to give Bessie an oil change, you'll kill Bessie. But it'll be good for your car. You understand? Certain kinds of practices are good for certain kinds of things. And so when you go up the ladder of abstraction and talk about wealth, okay, you can make broad statements, but if you want to actually do something that's useful, you have to go down the ladder of abstraction. And, you know, when it comes to the words of Jesus, people have a way of climbing up the ladder of abstraction so that they talk about only the most general things that Jesus said, as if that's all he said. So in one exchange, someone said, well, Jesus said, you know, just love God, you know, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And yeah, that's true, but he said a lot more than that. You know, in other words, how to do that involves looking at some of the other things Jesus said and did. Amen? Yes, Jesus said, do not judge, but the complete thought is don't judge lest you be judged. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Okay? And so he had some concrete things to say about judging and when it was appropriate and how. But if you just say Jesus said do not judge, okay, you're really not going to get the full import of what he was talking about. You have to know what else he said. Amen? And so this business of belonging to Jesus, meaning listening to his voice and following him, means that you want to pay attention to him in the details, not just at the high end of the ladder of abstraction, but in the concrete stuff. What did he say? Which is why, you know, we read our word. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. So, as followers of Jesus, of course, we gather on Sundays to celebrate him. That's what we've been doing. Praise the Lord. And this Sunday is special because it precedes Christmas, which is a day when traditionally we celebrate Jesus' birth. We have no idea when he was actually born, and there's probably good reason to believe that he was born sometime. He may not even have been born in this season, but we have an established tradition. We join with other believers all over the world in celebrating his birth without treating it as a matter of legalism. And amen?
Amen.
There are groups that will be happy to point out to you that there are some pagan antecedents to Christmas and what have you, and that's true. But, you know, I'm not thinking about pagans right now.
Amen.
You know, not thinking about the solstice.
Amen.
You know, I'm thinking about Jesus. Amen. I trust you are too. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right, so let's begin with Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, which should be on your sheet. And it reads, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So clearly this is going to be a really big deal. Amen? Amen. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. And I think I gave away all my sheets, and I need one for myself, so is there... when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took, which is a good thing to do. When God, you know, tells you to do something, it's good to be, you know, for the next verse that they write about you to be, and he did it, or she did it. Amen?
Amen.
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. No union with her until she gave birth to a son. Amen?
Yes.
Then they did what married folks do. Amen. So Jesus is God with us. Amen? Emmanuel means God with us. And that's very important. We're gonna explore some of the implications of that thought. Jesus is God with us, and so Jesus reveals God to us. Amen? Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20, which is on your sheet. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Jesus is God's agent. Amen? By him all things were created. He's before all things. And through him, he's reconciling to himself all things. Jesus is how God gets things done. Okay, Jesus is God's agent, accomplishing God's purposes. Amen? Now take a look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Right below it on your sheet. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, when it says in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, the language in the Greek is kind of like in the last days he's spoken to us in Son. Almost as if the language God is almost like God switched languages. Before, the language he used was prophets, and now on God's only speaking Son. Okay, that's kind of the way it looks in the Greek. I mean, it's probably the most intense kind of way of expressing what God's doing. It's more than just, you know, Jesus just passes along words from the Father. It's Jesus is the one through whom God is speaking. So Jesus is God's agent. We learned that in the Colossians passage. But God speaks through Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of God's word. Amen? That'll be familiar to you from John chapter 1. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. So, of course, this is not new to you, but there's something that we need to understand in terms of Jesus is that Jesus is representing God to us. And so the things that happened in Jesus' life should speak to us about God. Amen? So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Again, it's on your sheet. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, which seems to be the standard reaction to angels. Okay. So just, you know. How many of you have ever wanted God to show you an angel? Okay, so just keep in mind that the fairly consistent response in Scripture is terror. And the angel usually has to say, it's okay, chill, it's all right, you know. So I'm just saying, okay. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, you should sort of think of that. You'll find a baby lying in cloths, like, big deal. You know, lying in a manger. Come again? A feeding trough. Amen? Manger is a feeding trough. It's what animals eat out of. And in that Jesus is God with us, what you have is God in a feeding trough, which is the title of this message. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So Jesus is God with us, and he makes his debut in a feeding trough. As a baby. You think about what that implies. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. We'll come back to that thought. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Apostle Paul writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And then he gives them an example for a basis for making this exhortation. He says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus," or Messiah Jesus, or King Jesus. Amen? "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So you should approach things the way Jesus did. You should be thinking the way Jesus thought. And he, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. The best way to understand this is that Jesus did not consider the fact that he was God, or the one who would be known as Jesus, did not consider the fact that he was God to be something that he would take advantage of. Amen? How many of you have ever been in the position where you had, for whatever reason, some privileges? Right? So maybe there was a special place you got to sit, or there was a special badge you got to wear, or, you know, privileges. How many of you have ever chosen to not make use of your privileges at one point or another? Amen? That's the idea. He's God. Okay? He's God, but he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be taken hold of to be as an advantage. Okay? But what did he do? He made himself nothing. He emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, you should consider the death on a cross probably has roughly the same emotional impact for them as lynching would for us. Okay? It's not an honorable death. Or at least the people who do it are not trying to make an honorable statement about you. Amen? If you get lynched, it's because somebody is trying to say something really negative about you. Okay? They don't just want to kill you. Right? They want to imply that you are the lowest of the low. Amen? If you want someone to die honorably, what they would do in Rome was they would cut your head off. They'd just clean, you know, sort of, you know, beheading. That was considered honorable death. Amen? There's an old show, used to be on television, that would, starring Chuck Connors, that opened up with a scene that has lived on in my memory for a long time because it was just, he played a soldier who had been mistakenly thought to have deserted his post, and he's the only one who survived. The show is called Branded. And every episode would begin with the scene of him being brought out, you know, in his full uniform, and the guy would tear one epaulette off, one shoulder, tear the other one off, tear the buttons off, you know, strip the ribbons off, took the sword and snapped it over his knee, and you know, and left him with the piece of, you know, one half of the broken sword, the, you know, the sword with the handle and the blade broken off, and he walks out. They walks out of the fort. They open the doors. He walks out of the fort. They close the doors, and he's branded. You know, scorned as the one who ran. What can you do when you're branded and you know you're a man? He knew he hadn't left. He knew that the reason that his general had ordered him to go and report, but then the general got killed with everybody else, and every folks figured he just ran. But every town he would go to, he tried to do good until someone would come in town and say, "Aren't you the guy who..." Then he'd have to sort of prove himself and go on to the next town, branded. But that was that's how you show the dishonor. It's like, you don't deserve to be a soldier. Let's take all this soldier stuff off you, you know? Right? So the cross is the dishonorable death. And God, number one, takes a step down to become human. Number two, goes to the cross, okay? This is an amazing act of self-sacrifice and humility, right? So it should tell us something, since Jesus is God with us, it should tell us something about God and how God thinks. Amen? See, he came vulnerable. He came as a baby in a feeding trough. And let me just take a moment to say something about vulnerability and to encourage you. Some of the difficulties you run into in this Christian walk, dealing with other believers, especially if the other believer is a spouse, stems from a lack of vulnerability. I just want to encourage you that you need to see Jesus as your model. Amen? Sometimes what happens is our fantasies get us into trouble. Amen? Now, how many know that not all fantasies are sexual? Amen? So I'm not actually talking about sexual fantasies, although this may apply too, but to that as well. But we sometimes have fantasies, probably daily, we have a fantasy about how our spouse is going to treat us or what our spouse is going to do for us, say, when we get home. I get home and you know, my husband is going to want to hear all about my day and ask me how, you know, what's going on, and he'll rub my feet and he'll, you know, blah, 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 blah. And or I get home and my wife is going to have dinner ready and she's going to, you know, we have fantasies. Now let me just give you a sort of a guideline here for a fantasy. If a fantasy is not based if it's a fantasy, if it is not based in reality, you know, history or conversation. Amen? Right? In other words, You have this notion in your head because it would make you feel good. And your spouse has never done it before. And you've never discussed it. It's a fantasy. If it's something that you'd like, it's okay to have likes. Everyone understand it's okay to have likes and wants, right? We're human. If you never discuss it, it's a fantasy. Your spouse may pick up by sheer random chance on this thing that you would like for you to do for them, but there's a much safer way of getting what you want. It's ask for it. Ask for it. Whatever it is you want, you're better off asking for it. Now, if it's not illegal, if it's not immoral, if it doesn't involve other people besides you and your spouse, you probably on a reasonable basis, okay? But ask. Amen? But asking requires being vulnerable. Because if you ask, someone could say no, right? And then you'll feel rejected and your feelings will be hurt, right? So you don't ask, so you don't receive, and your feelings are hurt anyway. Amen? Ask. Why can we be confident that this is what we should do? Because Jesus became as vulnerable as it is possible for a human being to be. He became a baby. Babies are 100% vulnerability. I'll say that again. Babies are 100% vulnerability. You know, just about anything can take them out. Amen? And God became human and entrusted himself to two other humans and made his debut in a feeding trough. You know, I just think you mothers, just think what that means. Your newborn baby, you know, just born, right? You understand what your expectations, right? Your expectation now is that when your baby is born, you're going to be in a hospital with all kinds of professionals and lots of clean all over. Everything is just clean. There's just bottled up cleanness in the hospital because that's what they do. That's how they roll the hospital, right? Clean, clean, clean. Sterile, 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 right? But no, you're going to take your little bundle of joy and you're going to lay him in a feeding trough where the saliva from the animals and the, you know, amen? Now, you're probably going to do the best you can to try to clean it up as best you can, but there's no Lysol. Amen? No Clorox. None of that. Okay? God in a feeding trough. Okay? God became vulnerable. You can be vulnerable. Amen? Amen. Jesus' sacrificial love reveals God's sacrificial love. As we get ready to we're going to talk about this in just a couple of minutes among yourselves. You need to rely on Jesus for your understanding of God. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Again, along the same theme as what we've been talking about. Jesus is God with us. Jesus reveals God. But there's something important there that I noticed as I was reading in a commentary by a brilliant pastor and theologian, N.T. Wright. And he makes the point, we assume that we know who God is, and we spend a certain amount of intellectual energy trying to understand how Jesus maps onto our understanding of God, right? Because he's, you know, Jesus is God. Okay, how's that? Okay, God, I got that. How do I fit Jesus into that image of God? This is backwards. You don't know who God is until you have looked fully into Jesus. Amen? God is the one you thought you knew until you really have an encounter with Jesus. You thought you knew who God was. You had a few pieces to a mental picture. But you did not know who God was until you dealt with Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. It's there on your sheet. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But I want to emphasize that what I have highlighted there, all things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You don't really know God until the Son reveals him to you, if he chooses to. If he chooses to. So the question is, to whom does the Son choose to reveal the Father? That's one you can work on. It's not on the list, but it's one you can keep in the back of your head. We'll just look at one more passage. It's one we've been looking at a lot here. And that's Matthew 7, 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, but Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. As we said before, the things that make for a good church rep, good church reputation, won't necessarily place you in the kingdom. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So if you want to do the wise thing, you will put Jesus' words into practice. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to get into groups like we do, and we're going to look at, we've got some questions here, pick the one, discussion questions and topics here on your sheet. So pick one of the above passages that you found particularly striking, and what did you learn about Jesus from this passage? What did you learn about God through this passage? In what ways did you experience God's sacrificial love this past week? What ways did you demonstrate God's sacrificial love this past week? What's God saying to you right now? All right, talk amongst yourselves. We've got 15 minutes. Yeah. Let's just close out this part of our meeting with prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you came to us, you drew near to us in Jesus. Thank you for being God with us, being willing to be a baby in a feeding trough. We ask you to help us to hold on to what we've learned from your word today and to put it into practice. And we give you the glory and the praise for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.